pushing buttons and pulling triggers. This is Gun Funny.
Welcome to Gun Funny, episode 344. Today I'm going to chat with Scott Shamblin and Nicole McBurney from the Scott and Nicole Network, discuss the latest news on Washington's mag ban, highlight news on the 308 Jackal, and talk about how nuts people went for the eclipse. I'm your host, Ava Flanell. Scott, Nicole, how are you guys doing today?
I'm doing great.
Thank you for having us on, Ava.
Yeah, of course. I've actually been wanting to track you guys down for a few weeks now, and I'm really glad that I did. And listeners, you guys are going to realize pretty quickly why. But before we get into that, I want to take a quick break and talk about IWI. If you guys don't have a full-size Masada yet, definitely get one. It's one of my favorites in its class, and you get a ton of features for the price. It's optic-ready. It comes with four adapter plates for the most common red dots. The only thing I've changed on mine are the sights, and then I put on a red dot, and it co-witnesses with it, and it looks really great. It's also got pretty awesome trigger straight from the factory. Additionally, they have the tactical model with the threaded barrel so that you can suppress it. Either one, regardless of the tactical version or just the regular version, is $450. That's MSRP, and I've seen them for under $400. So it's a really great deal. Definitely check it out. IWI.us. If you find anything in their web store, use the code GUNFUNNY15, all one word, and that's going to get you 15% off.
Learn the things you never knew on Deconstructing the Industry.
Scott and Nicole, so thanks so much for joining me. So for anybody who's not familiar with you guys, which you guys are, from my understanding, kind of up and coming, I first saw you on somebody from Rally for Our Rights posted your testimony. And Scott, you were the one that went up and you said this testimony, and it was hilarious. And it was for the assault weapons ban bill here in Colorado. And I, like, when I heard that, I was like laughing so hard. But then I was also really bummed that I didn't get to meet you in person because I was also there at the Capitol that day. And then I saw that you guys had a YouTube channel, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to meet this guy. This is so funny. And then the person commented and they were like, yeah, follow us on Twitter if you want, or whatever, we'll keep you guys posted. But I couldn't find you on Twitter, and there was no contact info. And I was like, man, I would love to have this guy on my show, because I didn't know that there was a female involved either. And either way, I was just like, this was hilarious. But for anybody who may not be familiar with, you know, I guess what it is you do, and I guess I'm not even familiar with what you guys do other than make these funny testimonies, but can you kind of just fill in listeners like what it is? Like, what is Scott and Nicole Network?
Well, right now it's just posting us mocking the Colorado State Legislature. They propose a million and one just absurd bills every session, and people are trying to go with them at facts and logic, and they don't care about that. So we figured, why not go show them the absurdity of it by taking it to its logical conclusion?
I like it. And then Nicole, what is your, like, because it's you typically Scott that that does these
right
tests.
Scott's kind of the front man right now because I'm not in Denver, but I help him write all the satire, all the skits that we do. So he just finds these bills and tells me a little bit about it. And then we'll just start up a Google document and just start working on it, spitting out ideas. And then after, you know, a few hours, we'll just kind of refresh or refine everything. And then Scott usually just does it. It's like a one take thing for him. But it's fun to watch all the reactions that we get through the video and stuff. I always watch it live on my end. It's awesome.
That's hilarious. So I would imagine, so you're like the mastermind and then Scotch is the face of it. No.
Pretty much. No. he does do a lot of the writing too.
Yeah.
I know there was an article saying like, I'm doing all the writing, and that's not totally true. Me and Scott both are doing a lot of the writing. Scott has plenty of ideas. It's not just me. But as for right now, I'm only helping him with the writing, the brainstorming part of all this. Mm-hmm. But if I ever come out to Denver, I would go up front with him and actually do some of these testimonies.
Nice.
But for right now, I'm just kind of in the back, okay. Hidden.
It's pretty 50-50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. So I think just so the listeners can get an idea for like what it is that you say, would you mind playing the assault weapons ban bill testimony? And what I've also thought was funny is sometimes you go up and you say that you're in favor of it or you're against it, just kind of, you know, flip-flops. But go ahead and play that for us if you wouldn't mind.
Absolutely.
Chairperson and honorable members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Scott Shamblin, they, them. I represent myself. I'm an anti-fascist democratic socialist, and it's good to see a fellow comrade propose this bill. I'm a student of human rights with emphasis on gun control. I support this bill. Whether it's Tuesday or today, it's a good day to revoke the 2A. You may hear people today who say, when seconds matter, the police are minutes away. The answer is not that difficult. Defund the police and send out unarmed, non-threatening social workers who can de-escalate using gentle parenting techniques like positive reinforcement and Werther's original candies. To all you gun owners out there, there are no bad guys, just people who do bad things. And usually it's because they're hangry. So maybe trade your S&P for a Snickers and tea and make a new friend. If thought corrupts language, language can also corrupt thought. Another benefit of this bill is it helps us continue cleaning up the dictionary. Standard capacity magazines are referred to as high capacity magazines. ARMA light rifles are assault weapons. Small caliber plastic pistols are now high caliber weapons of war. Similar to our other recent additions, like minor attracted persons and views opposing ours being fascism. I'm so proud of the progress we've made. Let's expand this bill to continue incrementally outlawing guns, boiling the frog slowly, if you will.
After this bill, we should plan an actual gun roundup as we pull the fourth and go door to door. You can put people at ease by reminding them that I'm from the government and I'm here to help. After seizing all firearms, we can expand this to our opposition's cars, homes, semi-trucks, bank accounts, retirement accounts, and wives. We should also go ahead and amend the bill to include hard and heavy objects. If a radical were to throw a can of corn at a high velocity, it too would be an assault weapon. Everything should be soft and squishable, just like my masculinity, so nobody gets hurt. War is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. Daddy Joe is my waifu. Thank you.
Okay. All right. No, come on. All right. Some witnesses may choose to use a humorous approach in their testimony. That is their prerogative. We need to keep it professional and respectful in here, please.
I was actually going to ask like what everyone's reaction was after you read that. And
they clapped, yeah. And laughed and applauded. The room erupted. The overflow room erupted. It's like, yeah, cool story, bro, but it actually happened.
Yeah, that's so funny. Okay, so I have a few questions. So I wonder if some people right now are listening and they're like, you know, this is really rude, you know, especially to like the committee members and kind of a waste of their time. But I mean, for anybody who's thinking that, and I know, you know, Scott and Nicole, you probably have something to say about that as well. But for me, I think that this is a way to kind of get to the point and to let them realize like how ridiculous some of these bills are. So I don't think that it's actually wasting their time. And if anybody's ever testified against a bill, depending on what bill it is, some of this stuff lasts forever. I mean, I know with the assault weapons bill, I think they said they were cutting it off at 12 hours, 10 hours or 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And 12. Yeah. And so when you're sitting there for so long, you can't even eat in the room. I try to like eat a snack and like the snack police comes out and they're just like, you can't even eat that, but you don't know when they're going to call your name next. Or you're kind of just like, you know, held victim. But it's a long day, and then you're just hearing the same stuff over and over again. So I'm not opposed to this. And I think that even the committee members, you know, they're probably just like, eventually it's just falling on deaf ears.
Oh yeah.
I don't know.
This definitely grabs their attention because everybody else is kind of saying the same thing. And, you know, we're not really trying to like, we don't think we're going to change anybody's mind right there. We kind of know they already have their minds made up. So they're probably not even going to listen to our testimony if we try to say something kind of normal. Mm-hmm. So when we start doing crazy stuff like this, sometimes at first, like when I'm watching the video, it's kind of obvious they're not really paying attention. But then Scott will say something and then suddenly they're like, wait, what is he saying?
Yes.
And then they start paying attention. So it's kind of fun to see the reaction and actually get their attention and make them listen.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they get really upset, like in this one where everyone started clapping and they didn't like that, which was ridiculous in our opinion. But well, that's their prerogative, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Scott, do you have anything to say to that?
Yeah, after a point, it's just droning on the same point. They stop listening. Brianna Titone, he's just over there like slouched playing Animal Crossing or whatever on his phone. Mm-hmm. So at some point, they're not listening.
Yeah.
And so to anybody that would say it's disrespectful, mm-hmm. I would say I'm returning the amount of respect, but I don't actually believe it's disrespectful. Like you said, it's bringing the evidences or just a logical conclusion up to the forefront. It's showing them how absurd some of these things are. Mm-hmm. And as an added bonus, a lot of the reps think it's funny.
Yeah.
I know the Republican reps, they all think it's hilarious. Occasionally, very rarely, but occasionally, we'll get one of the Democrats to laugh. And that's an accomplishment.
Yeah. Can you imagine having to listen to stuff like that and remain completely like emotionless and just like, okay, you can't laugh? I mean, I don't know, it's really hard for me to not laugh. There's a few things that you said that I was like, even trying to be quiet while listening while we were playing this. And I was like, okay, oh, yeah. I can't laugh too hard because, you know. But
yeah, and sometimes while we're writing this, Scott will text me. He's like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this one with a straight face.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you better start practicing now.
Yeah. So that was going to be my next question is, how do you guys, I mean, Scott, how do you like do this? Like, is it just like, okay, you practice enough where you're like, all right, it's not funny. But I'm also assuming who goes in and like films for you? Are you going there by yourself or is somebody with you?
I'm using the Capitol's cameras. So they have their Zoom mm-hmm. For remote testimony, and I just record that.
Okay. Huh. Interesting. Yeah. And so otherwise,
there's the inside tip. But as for like practicing, and I don't really practice it that much. I've read the script 100 times at that point because I'm trying to get everything short and punchy in that 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And preferably not stutter through it.
Yeah.
But I guess the biggest thing is it is a little bit nerve-wracking to be up there. I don't like public speaking.
Yeah.
But then I go up there and I just try to read it and not think about it. Mm-hmm. The biggest mistake is looking up at any of the Republicans because they're dying. They're trying to hold it in.
Yeah.
There was one I did one this morning, actually, and it was a tiny bill. And the bill sponsor, who was a Republican, she was still sitting there with, like, on the witness stand mm-hmm. Because there was only two of us that were testifying in person, so they didn't need to move. So she was sitting there next to me laughing.
Wow.
Which, that made it a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's hard when somebody else is laughing, and then it's hard for you not to laugh.
Yeah, she was giggling the whole time, but Scott still pulled it off, and we hope to get that video up shortly. Scott, I don't know how long that takes for you to edit, but
it'll probably be later this week, early next.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So what got you guys into politics? Or, I mean, I'm assuming you guys are into politics, or maybe you're just like...
Eh. A little bit. Nicole, you want to answer that first?
Yeah, what got us into this? That's a good question. So I guess it kind of comes from our background. Scott and I grew up going to the same church, and our church pastor and just some of the guys there would do a lot of, I guess, activism mm-hmm. type stuff. And they didn't do satire like we're doing, but they did some crazy stunts back in the day. So that was kind of, they were our like role models, I guess. So this type of stuff is something that we grew up hearing like our parents and our, you know, friends in church doing and stuff. So we just kind of were carrying on that tradition in a sense. And the reason we're doing this one, well, it started with there was an abortion ban, which one was it, Scott? Abortion ban, right?
It was the abortion ban bill.
Yeah, so we were, at first Scott was going in favor of the bill, but then he texted me and he's like, you know, there's no way that these guys are going to, this bill is going to go through. So what if I just go completely satirical on them and just make fun of them? And I'm like, that sounds fantastic. Let's work on that. And we just kind of texted back and forth a few ideas on what he should say. And then eventually we just started writing a script and just going through it. And then Scott went and presented his testimony, and we had such a good reaction to that. And Scott's like, this was so much fun. We got to keep doing this. So that's what kind of kickstarted. That wasn't really our intention because we have our YouTube channel started. That wasn't really what we were planning to do originally. But he posted that video and it just went viral. So that's kind of where we are now, is just satire.
Nice.
And making these funny testimony videos.
Mm-hmm.
Then my background is pretty much the same, because we had a very similar upbringing. I think my earliest exposure, it was on the house floor. My parents were, I think they were friends with the house rep at the time. She got us on the floor a day that we were there, and they were arguing about some bill that I thought was ridiculous, even as a little kid. So that was probably my earliest exposure. And then, of course, at church, we had all the people who were at least somewhat politically active. And then I've testified over the years on a couple of bills. And so I'm not the complete stranger to it. I know the drill.
Mm-hmm.
But I really enjoy commentators like Matt Walsh, for example, or I also like watching Brandon Herrera every now and again.
Mm-hmm.
So just like these topics, I think they're good topics and they're important. And I somewhat enjoy talking about how they tie in. I'm still involved with my church and I lead a young adults group. And one of the things we like to talk about is like, how does this tie in to our beliefs? Politics, guns, whatever else. And so that's kind of where my interest lies. How does this fit into our overall worldview?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm from.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, we're pretty much just watching the world spiral into madness, and we're like, we got to do something. And satire is a fun way to do it. It's a fun tool to bring these issues up front.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm going to take a quick break, talk about Gators iPro. Gators has blast shield lenses in different colors available, including low light lenses and the brand new smoke polarized with the gold mirror. They have a fast yet rugged mechanism to swap out the lenses too. So you just like flip up the nose piece up 90 degrees and the mechanism opens, you swap out the lenses, you close it back up, you are ready to go. And of course, they're made from the same rugged aluminum as these other glasses, which I gotta say, I'm so tired of people spending so much money on overpriced glasses that are just like plastic, or I mean, really just they're just plastic, and even the lenses aren't even like ballistically rated. And, you know, it's just, I was looking at this one company the other day and I couldn't believe the price tag on it. But at least like with Gators, like it's such a nice, like well-made, good quality lens that, you know, yes, it does cost a little bit more than like your typical glasses, but like, you know, it's going to last for years to come. And it's not like you're just going to go through them every season. Definitely check them out. They have, like I said, all kinds of different lenses and different frames as well to fit every face. Check it out, gators.com/Ava15. And if you use that URL, you're going to get 15% off. Scott, do you want to play the abortion video that you did, that testimony? Because I also listened to that, and that one also had me rolling. But like you said, I think it's important to show the first video that you ever did. And here you can see, I mean, you guys can't see it, listeners can't see it, but you can see that people aren't really paying attention, even the people that are up on the panel with you. And then suddenly they're just like, wait, what is this guy talking about? And like, they're trying to keep a straight face. And it was pretty, pretty comical. But do you want to play that for us?
Sure. We're going to get into the more controversial politics now, I guess.
Yeah.
Thank you. Chairperson and honorable members of the committee, thank you for the privilege to speak today. My name is Scott Shamblin, he, him. I'm a proud Democrat and especially proud of our great history. While I am not a birthing person, I am a fertilizing person, and I oppose this bill. The very idea that such a bill would be proposed is an act of violence on birthing and fertilizing persons alike. It is a threat to our way of life. It is a threat to my way of life. I want to start by telling you of my lived experience. In the last 2 years, I've personally seen how this issue is a birthing person's issue. 7 of my partners over the last 2 years became pregnant. 7. And you know what? Babies are the woman's issue, and they took care of their issues appropriately. How, you might ask? Through abortion. Had I not had this option, I would be a parent to at least 7 different children with 7 different birthing mothers. This is unacceptable. It would ruin me financially and completely destroy my self-indulgent way of life. If abortion becomes illegal, I will be unable to continue exercising my freedoms without consequence and actually be held accountable for my actions. I am fortunate to have had a Darwinian education. It is immoral to painfully prolong the survival of the weak when we could remove them from the equation to accelerate our evolutionary progress. I am a proud supporter of Planned Parenthood's legacy. It's doing exactly as our foremother, Margaret Sanger, peace be upon her, designed it to do, to keep the poor, undesirable, genetically inferior populations down by intentionally putting Planned Parenthoods in communities dominated by the genetically inferior. We have successfully crumbled these communities. It is good and merciful to abort pregnancies that won't have an easy life. A life of financial struggle, mental health issues, physical disabilities, discrimination, systemic racism, and any discomfort at all is not a life worth living. We should not allow someone to live if they cannot live, laugh, love their best life. This is the democratic way. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. All hail Gorlok the Destroyer.
Thank you. And testimony takes a lot of forms, sometimes satire, and a wink to the bill sponsor tells us all we need. We appreciate you being here this evening. Please hold for questions.
That's funny. I couldn't even imagine being the chairperson having to deal with this.
Today I got the reaction that I wish you would take this more seriously. Well, there's not much to take serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's kind of switch gears a little bit and talk about, you know, like some of the politics that are happening in Colorado right now. I said this on a lot of previous episodes that, you know, I've gotten really politically active, kind of dabbled in it last year, got pretty motivated. And then this year it was like, I wanted to turn a blind eye and just like, I didn't want to drink the Kool-Aid. And then I drank the Kool-Aid. And now next thing you know, I'm on Twitter talking crap to all the, you know, representatives that have voted in favor of these anti-gun bills. And it's like, I just can't stop. And it's like ruining my life. I can't wait for like May 8th to come, which is, if you guys don't know, that's the last day of legislation where they could pass bills. But I mean, I'm definitely fed up. It's kind of crazy just to see like the stuff that they're pulling. And I will say, you know, I've heard people say this before, but like essentially like testifying against these bills, or even when like the House floor votes on stuff, it's literally like a horse and pony show. It's not, you know, I mean, and then on top of that, you bring out like the people who are in favor of these bills and they're not really using a lot of logic or facts. It's all emotionally driven. And it's just like, so there's always like tears. And I mean, it's just like, you almost like lose your sanity by the time the bill is like voted on and you've been there for hours. And I don't know. I mean, so what do you like, have you guys been following pretty actively on like any of the anti-gun bills?
Well, I follow some of them. I watch all the RMGO updates. I have a few group texts with people that keep up on it. So I generally know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And all the testimonies on these bills that are in favor of these anti-2A bills, they're all emotion. There's no logic involved. And it's so frustrating listening to it. You're not talking anything that's hyper relevant to whether or not this bill should be law. It's just, here is my sob story, which it's tragic that that happened, but this bill isn't going to do anything for that. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. I'm going to take another quick break, talk about Mantis. In addition to the Mantis X system or the Laser Academy, Mantis has an accessory that you guys need to check out that you can use with either one. It's the TRT. It's called TapRack Dry Fire Safety Training Aid. It's specifically designed for the firearms that require your mag to be inserted in order to fire, or if you simply want to practice dry firing and incorporate mag changes. What the TRT does is it keeps your magazines from engaging that last round slide lock. It's essentially a rubber W round that you load in your mag that depresses the follower, but it only has about half of the round there so that the action won't load into the chamber when you rack it. So in other words, it will keep your follower depressed no matter how many times you rack the slide during the dry fire. They come in three packs for 9 or 40, 45 ACP, and then 5.56. Check it out, MantisX.com. What are you guys hoping to accomplish with this YouTube channel? And is this something, I'm assuming this probably isn't your guys' full-time job, right?
No. I probably lose money.
Yeah.
Yeah, we both have day jobs. This is just kind of something we're doing for fun right now. And then our YouTube channel, right now we're just doing these, like I said earlier, just doing these satire builds right now. Mm-hmm. But in the future, we're hoping to have kind of like a podcast deal where we talk about just a little more in detail about various things that are happening in the world, whether it's politics, criminal justice, God and the Bible, stuff like that, and just kind of all tie it together. That was our original intent when we were first talking about starting a YouTube channel and doing a podcast. Mm-hmm. But then Scott posted the testimony video and that just went viral. So we're like, well, I guess we're doing this now, but we hope to have some different content coming out, hopefully within the near future.
Nice. Okay, cool. And then you guys, I mean, listeners can't tell, but you guys are in your early 20s, which mm-hmm. is nice to see that, you know, there's younger people out there that are getting involved in politics and also still standing up for our rights and kind of, I guess, right wing politics. Have you seen that, like, you're able to kind of change some minds or change perspectives, I guess, from people that might otherwise disagree with you?
Yes. Our first testimony went viral. I think there's a total of, 1.5 million views on it now. Mm-hmm. And people that I've been screenshotting the comments as I see them, and people are saying, oh, this is a good point. This changed my mind a little bit. So it's definitely moving the needle a little bit, mm-hmm. Making people think more. There's been people that have decided they want to go testify. They want to go do something when seeing this. So it's encouraged people to go get involved. I think my biggest goal with the whole thing, kind of tying in the previous question, is I'm kind of frustrated mm-hmm. seeing the, I guess, decline of man. Everybody's just weak and they just roll over to anything. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it's the government. That's how it is. I don't like that. And I think that's a problem. And I'm hoping that we can influence more people into standing up, having a little bit of backbone. Go tell your legislators how idiotic they are. Go influence your families, your neighborhoods, your communities with something that isn't just horrible and corrupt, like what we're seeing at the Capitol. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I like it. And I completely agree. I think that a lot of people at this point are just very complacent, or they're like, well, this is how it is now, and we just kind of have to accept it. And I completely disagree. And, you know, and I think that a lot of these people, when they see people like you or me, like, testify, and they're like, oh, I didn't even know that you could actually testify against this, or that you could write to your representatives. You know, a lot of it is just like educating the public on, like, what's even possible. And then also kind of showing them how it's done, you know, and it has increased. Like, I know I've gotten a lot of people that are like, you know, you inspired me to testify or write, you know, even submit a written testimony, which is, you know, nice step forward. It's better than nothing. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice to see, because I do agree. I'm just like, people are just, I mean, they're sheep nowadays, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of has been that way all throughout human history when you look at it. There's a few people who will say, like, no, this is insanity. You know, you gotta do something about it. But everyone else is just kind of quiet. And people generally don't like conflict. And I get that.
Yeah.
But there comes a point where you have a duty to stand up and say, this is enough. This is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to be a good example for people, old and young, but hopefully more people in our generation, the younger people, just encourage them to think outside the narrative, you know, don't just accept whatever people are telling you. Use some critical thinking skills, and just like we said earlier, just bringing out the absurdity so people will actually think about it. So that's our goal. And I'm sure you could probably tell. So Scott and I are both Christian conservatives, and we are doing all of this in the spirit of 1 Corinthians 10:31, which says, do all for the glory of God. And even in our satire, when we're making fun of these people, and it's fun to see the meltdown some of these people will have, but we want people to turn their attention toward God, away from the, I guess, what I would call the criminally insane, and just repent from all the evil that is going on. And we want to encourage people to look at our side, look into Christianity, because we believe that this is where our values come from. These are where our rights come from. They all come from God. And if you reject that, that is what leads you into the mess that we are in today. And so with our podcast, with our videos, you know, hopefully we'll talk more about that in the future. So I want to have people tune into our show, and hopefully we can get into some of that into detail and talk about why we believe what we believe and why we do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay, perfect. And then tell people, you know, where they can find you on YouTube and Twitter, which you guys aren't on Instagram or Facebook, correct? Or are you?
We're on Instagram, not Facebook yet. We should probably add that. It's Scott Nicole Show on X/Twitter. And everywhere else, it's at Scott Nicole Network. If you search the Scott and Nicole Network on YouTube, it'll pop up. You'll probably see my face or one of the thumbnails. And that's probably the best way.
Okay, perfect. I actually just followed you guys on Instagram. And then I also just got a text message from Ian from RMGO. And he said, are you interviewing Scott?
I texted him. He's at the Capitol right now fighting for our rights to bear arms.
Yeah.
And he's feeding me info so I know whether or not I can go run there after this and testify again today.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, then on that note, you know what? We do need more people to testify against that bill. So I'm not going to keep you for the rest of the show. I do appreciate what you guys are doing. Keep up the good work. Hopefully I run into you at the Capitol. I haven't decided if I'm going to testify tomorrow in person. I'm signed up to do remote. I might change. I'm not sure. But if you are going to be there tomorrow, maybe I'll run into you. But either way, I'm sure I'll run into you. And Nicole, you also keep up the good work. I do appreciate you guys. And once again, anybody who's listening, go ahead and follow Scott and Nicole on social media, especially if you guys want some laughs.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having us on. We appreciate it.
Of course.
Thanks, Ava.
Of course. Thank you. Moving on with the rest of the show. If you like to shoot long range, check out the Flashbang Target Hit Indicator. It's a light that attaches to the back of your steel target and flashes when there's hits. This is perfect if you're shooting 22 long rifle and there may not be much sound when it hits the steel, or even 5.56, say at, you know, 800 yards, 1,000 yards, any of that stuff. It has 10 super bright LEDs triggered by impact that are visible for thousands of yards, even in daylight. It's powered by 3 AA batteries, which lasts over 5,000 impacts. They work with any steel targets over 5 inches. And then best of all, it's only $29.99. Use the code GUNFUNNY10, which is going to get you 10% off. That is all one word, GUNFUNNY10. And then also, sadly, Caldwell will not be renewing with me after this month. There's no hard feelings, but I just want you guys to know that if there is anything that you guys have been putting off getting and you think that you have all the time in the world to use that coupon code, I'm not sure how long it's going to be active. So just a heads up. So, you know, definitely use that coupon code sooner than later. That is CaldwellShooting.com.
Politics. What is going on in the world today? It's political AF.
Today in politics, on Monday, a Cowlitz County judge correctly ruled that Washington's ban on standard capacity magazines is unconstitutional. Cowlitz County is, of course, a bit removed from the corrupt liberal cesspool of Seattle politics, where they still believe that the rights of Washington citizens matter. Judge Gary Basher ruled that the ban, which has been in place since 2022, violates both the Washington state and U.S. Constitution. His decision rightly cites Supreme Court precedent and states, "There was no appetite to limit gun rights by the founders. Though the specific technology available today may not have been envisioned, the founders expected technological advancements. The result is few, if any, historical analog laws by which a state can justify a modern firearms regulation." So in other words, as all of us know, gun control in any form is unconstitutional. Judge Basher granted an immediate injunction in his ruling to restore the rights of Washington citizens. He added that the state must point to a historical analog of similar regulation, which everyone knows does not exist. Immediately after the ruling, multiple shops, including Rainier Arms, announced they were selling mags for Washington's anticipated Freedom Week, as it usually takes a gun-grabbing attorney general a week or so to secure a stay in similar cases from state Supreme Courts. I even saw that on Rainier Arms, and I messaged my editor, who actually lives in Washington, and I was like, hey, are you taking advantage of it? Unfortunately, though, this did not last long. So it didn't fly with the communists running Washington state. The blatantly unconstitutional Attorney General Bob Ferguson, who hopes to be the governor next so he can further destroy the rights of Washington citizens, made an obviously pre-planned backroom deal with the exclusively liberal state Supreme Court judges to get a stay of the decision in record time. Literally minutes after the decision was announced, he had a stay from the Supreme Court in hand. That says two things. He knew beforehand that he was going to lose on the merits of the case, and he had the Supreme Court already in his pocket. That process should take days, not minutes. It was a well-written 51-page ruling. They didn't even read it. Not even the nutty ninth would grant a stay that fast. And it came out that it wasn't even done by a judge. It was stayed by a commissioner of the court. The shortest injunction in Washington history wasn't even halted by a judge. Unfortunately, even though the merits of the case are clear and support the rights of Washington citizens, the makeup of the state Supreme Court makes the case pretty much a foregone conclusion if it proceeds there. It's likely the case will be stayed pending the outcome of other mag cases currently at higher levels of the Ninth Circuit. Those cases have already been ruled unconstitutional at higher levels of the court system and will set precedent and potentially force Washington state to follow the Constitution. It will likely take one of those cases getting all the way to the Supreme Court of the U.S. before Washington citizens get their rights restored, though, which is really unfortunate. And this is why I have constantly told people, I'm like, you guys need to fight before it becomes law, because if people think that no big deal, they're going to overturn it with a lawsuit, all of that stuff takes years and there's no guarantee. I think it's better to, you know, try to fight it at its basic level first, and then the lawsuit, you know, can proceed, I guess, if it passes. But lawsuits aren't just going to be the answer to everything, because again, as we're seeing with all of these unconstitutional laws, it's going to take years before it will pass, and that's even if it will pass.
This segment is brought to you from Rose by Sig Sauer.
Unfortunately, with everything going on this week, fighting gun control bills, I wasn't able to fit a guest in for the Rose segment this week, so I thought I'd cover some of the Rose gear. Starting with the gun itself, so the Rose is available in 380 or 9mm. The 9mm version includes the slide comp, which makes it a little bit easier on recoil, and you can buy either one with the Romeo Zero red dot installed. All of them have the subtle rose gold accents on the controls and the rose stippling in the grip. They have a bunch of gear as well. There are grip enhancement kits if you want more of like a rubberized grip or a sandpaper texture for maximum grip if you have sweaty hands, or let's say you often put lotion on your hands. I know I run into a lot of that with students that I teach. Both styles are pre-cut and easily applied with a hairdryer and include the Rose logo on the grip. The rubberized grip has like a rose gold color, and then there's one that's a little bit darker on just like the one that feels like it's sandpaper. They have cleaning kits for both guns, holsters with the Rose logo, and it also has like little roses on it, and it's done, again, very like posh-like. It's majority black, and then it has like the little pink roses on it. You can get it in both inside the waistband or outside the waistband. If you're like me and you didn't get your Rose with an optic, they have them available now. So you could just get like the regular Romeo Zero, or you can get, it's a rose gold metal shroud that goes around it, and it really makes it pop. I have one. I have not put it on my gun yet just because of time restrictions, but I definitely want to. But then, like I said, if you're not into that and you just want to get a regular red dot, you can do so. They have an economical one that's roughly just slightly over $200. They also have the Romeo X Compact Rose Edition, which is a more rugged optic, also with the rose gold accents, at $429. Apart from being rugged with aluminum construction, it also has a circle with the dot instead of just a dot. And then the battery, which can be changed without taking off the optic, which is increasing in popularity and makes life so much easier so that you don't have to zero in that optic again. Something else that you don't want to overlook is a good light, which they have you covered. I actually talked about this light in one of the recent episodes of Pew Pew Panel, which is my other podcast, but they have a Foxtrot EDC Compact Rose Edition light, very similar to the Rose P365. It's majority black, but has some rose gold accents. And they did a really good job with that light. And it's just kind of nice to like have this like nice complete package and everything matches. And I just think it makes it a lot of fun. They even have you covered with safety gear, including Rose Edition electronic earmuffs and rose colored shooting glasses. They also have rose cleaning mats that are available in black and pink. I actually have both. The only thing that I don't see on this list actually is their blanket. They have this rose blanket, which I am due for another giveaway. I think probably the next episode I'm going to do a giveaway, so stay on the lookout for that. I'm going to do probably a catchphrase. More details to follow with that, but I don't see that here on their website, but I do have a few blankets that I could give away. And then lastly, they have concealment clothing. So they have like joggers and hoodies. And I have to say, I tried them on when I was at the Rose Retreat, and they are so comfortable. And even the joggers, it looks like just kind of like your typical jogger slash sweatpants, but they built it so that you can carry that gun inside your waistband and move around. It's not going to fall out. And then the hoodie, I have that one, and it's just super soft and comfortable. Like, they did a really good job of designing that. And then lastly, if you really want to show off, they also have Rose ammo available in hollow points as well as range ammo. So FMJ or HP, and it just looks cool. So again, you can get the entire package. Like, they've really run with this and have made it like an entire thing. And then, as always, what I've said in all of my segments. So guys, even if you don't have the P365 Rose, or let's say you don't even own a single SIG product, no big deal. If you guys want to be with like-minded women, I definitely recommend checking out the community Facebook group. Just search for Rose Community. And then also feel free to follow them on Instagram and Facebook, just SIG Rose. And then in addition to that, if you guys want to find out anything else about any of the retreats coming up or buy any of this gear, head on over to sigsauer.com/Rose and let them know that I sent you. It would help out greatly. But really, it's such a nice community that SIG has developed. So hats off to them.
Tacti Talk, discussing popular guns and gear. Love it? Hate it? Find out now.
Today in Tacti Talk, can we have a SCAR heavy? One of Palmetto State Armory's most popular concept guns they showed this year at SHOT was the 308 Jackal, aka the SCAR we have at home. The higher power concept gun garnered the second most interest, right behind the X5.7 PDW. The Jackal 308 prototype is obviously not a true SCAR design, but uses a Palmetto State AR-10 lower with an adapter plate at the back to utilize a SCAR-style stock and couple with the upper. The upper includes one of the slimmest 308 piston system handguards on the market. It also features a non-reciprocating charging handle that can easily be swapped for lefties and has an 8-position adjustable gas block. The cool news on it is that they've moved beyond the concept stage and have proceeded to extended testing of several versions on the range. PSA shared video of one version with over 5,500 rounds through it, so the project is definitely on the move. With entry-level price for gas piston 308s at $2,500 and up, this is potentially a huge seller for PSA. And I'd say as long as they make it reliable and priced under $2,500, this is definitely going to be a game changer and will sell very well. Smith & Wesson, if you guys are looking for a new 22 mag, which are just so much fun to shoot, definitely check out the M&P 22 Magnum from Smith & Wesson. The new 22 mag includes the tempo barrel that they've developed for the 5.7, which means recoil on this is going to be pretty much non-existent since the tempo barrel keeps the action locked up until the bullet passes the gas port. It ships with two standard mags that hold 30 rounds, and then like the 5.7, it includes an internal hammer rather than striker, so it has a crisp single action trigger. Sadly, unlike the 5.7, it doesn't come with a threaded barrel, but maybe we will see that. It's optic ready and it comes with fiber optic front sights as well as a Picatinny rail. Check it out, smith-wesson.com.
Stupid, funny, cool, interesting, awesome, as f- never mind. AF.
Today's AF segment, eclipse coverage was nuts. The Great American Eclipse on Monday was visible in totality for more than 100 miles wide from Mexico through Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Illinois, New York, and Canada. The total solar eclipse caused a stir across the U.S. with its umbra for, hopefully I'm saying that right, umbra, for 3 hours, 15 minutes, with 31.6 million people living under the path of totality. The path of totality is the region where the sun is completely obscured. The temperature actually drops around 10 degrees during the eclipse. The sun was in a period of higher activity for the eclipse, so those watching closely with proper equipment saw more spectacular views than usual. Monday also saw a massive spike in Google searches for "Why do my eyes hurt?" which I saw this on the news, and this had me rolling because clearly everyone was looking at the eclipse and they were not wearing proper glasses. I know exactly where I was when the eclipse took place. I was actually dropping Peaches off to her groomer's appointment and I forgot about it, but I was outside walking through the parking lot heading into the groomer's and I saw everybody looking up at the sky. And of course I'm like, oh, what am I missing out on? And then I realized it was the eclipse. And there was one guy in the parking lot and he actually had a helmet that you would use when glass beading and, or no, I'm sorry, not glass beading, when welding. And I only know this because my dad welds sometimes and that was the helmet that he used. But I used my glasses and that didn't really help that much. I couldn't really see much, but thankfully I had friends that sent me pictures of it and stuff. But one thing that I did get, and I was laughing so hard, this was in the evening and I saw this video and it had me rolling and I sent it to all of my friends and I was like, hey guys, in case you didn't catch the eclipse, here it is. And it was this like really bad video. Well, I thought it was homemade. It was essentially someone's ball sack cutting off the sun. I thought it was like, I mean, I guess I thought it was just like a joke. I didn't realize that it made national news. So I guess it's a Mexican news outlet called RCG and it does media 24/7 coverage. Their network covering the eclipse included showing clips sent in by fans. At one point, the male host was listing the cities where you could see the eclipse. And then sure enough, suddenly a video of a testicular eclipse was accidentally played. So I'm guessing that maybe the person who recorded this sent this into the news and they aired it without actually looking at it. But yeah, essentially they aired someone's ball sack, which if you saw this footage, I'm actually laughing because my editor, I sent it to him and I forgot that he has an Android. I don't know if you guys have ever sent videos, you know, from like if you have an iPhone to an Android and vice versa, it just doesn't transfer well. And so I told him, I was like, hey, I don't know if you had a chance to see the eclipse. And I sent him this funny video. And of course, he didn't laugh. And he was just like, no, we can't see it that well in Washington. So I just assumed he didn't see the video. And then I was like, well, it's not even worth mentioning, because then I realized that like he probably wouldn't be able to see it that well anyways, because the files don't transfer that well. And it's like, not so crisp. But now I'm starting to think that maybe he did see it, which makes it even funnier. But anyways, as soon as this accidentally played, they quickly took it down, but they are definitely getting mocked for the mistake. In other news, as far as the eclipse, so we won't see another real eclipse until 2033 in Alaska, and not until 2044 for parts of Montana and North Dakota. All right, guys, it is finally time to wrap up. We do not have any iTunes reviews, which is weird because we were on a good roll and we need a few more before I draw a lucky winner. So if you haven't left a review, please do so. You can find me at gunfunny.com. There's links to all of my social media, my YouTube, all of that good stuff. And then if you enjoy the show and you want to support it, consider becoming a Patreon. You could do so by going to gunfunny.com and then click the support the show link. Or if you guys are on Patreon, we're on Patreon as well. Just search for Gunfunny. I also want to thank the $25 Patreons who are Sake Holsters, Daniel Treadwell, Keith Callimore, Daniel Lee, Nick Theodosian, Tristan Smith, Melissa Ridings, William Knave, and Patrick Comar. And then, of course, King of the Patreon is Jon Snow. And also, big shout out to you, Scott and Nicole. Thank you guys so much for what you're doing. Thanks for the laughs, if nothing else. And then also, hopefully you guys are inspired to, you know, take a stand. Contact those representatives. Testify. Do whatever you can. But you definitely want to put your foot down before it's too late. And on that note, I'm out of here. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Want to send feedback? Tell us about a company or anything else? Go to gunfunny.com/contact.